When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Julia Season 2 is over, but we are just getting started talking about it here on Post Show Recaps. That's right. It's full spoiler recaps where we're binging a new season of a show every week and chatting about it in full, spoilery detail in just one podcast. I'm Jess Sterling. Today, we are discussing Julia Season 2. And of course, I am joined here by my co-chef, Grace Leader. Grace, how are you?
I'm good. I was going to try a Julia impression, but I think it would just come out as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello!
Hello!
Which I must, she must be, right? Like, is Mrs. Doubtfire based on Julia Childs to some... Like, not the,
I mean,
like,
I don't think so, because Mrs. Doubtfire, I'm pretty sure, like, is Scottish.
Scottish, yeah.
So, right. But I can hear it. I certainly can in the curly hair. Yeah. You know, there aren't no similarities between the two characters.
Yeah. Anyway, we're talking Julia. People really
Julia
love this.
Child.
People love this show, Jess.
People are a big fan. This is one of the shows that got nominated via submission from our listeners. So thank you all for submitting this show. I binged the past two seasons, I'd say in about as many weeks, maybe 2 weeks, I watched all of it. Mm-hmm. I will say there, I feel like Julia Child has had a moment for a while, right? Like, there was Julie and Julia. I remember that. Isn't that, I think it's based on a book, right?
Meryl Streep. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that book and movie that came out. Yeah. Like you said, Meryl Streep, Stanley Tucci, like a lot of Chris Messina, a lot of famous faces in that. That adaptation of Julia's life. And now we have the show Julia. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, it is a Max original. That's right. I said
it. Oh, you said it.
Max. So it's had two seasons now. Based on my knowledge, I don't believe it has.
No, I don't think it's been renewed. I don't think so.
I don't think so. Based off of Julia Child's life and kind of how she got the show, The French Chef, on air. That's kind of what happens in the first season. Before we dive too far into the amazing dish that is Julia, go to PosherRecaps.com/full spoiler recaps to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a single episode, and go to PosherRecaps.com/subscribe to see everything we're covering, because we have a lot of coverage here at Posher Recaps. Grace, any broad thoughts on Julia?
Yeah, so we were messaging, as we do, as we're watching these shows. And I will say this up front. This show is incredibly well made. It's really well acted. I think Sarah Lancashire is really good. David Hyde Pierce also, I think, is really good. I'll pull up the list here, but the person who plays Alice Naaman, I think, is very good as well. I just want to get her name.
Oh, Brittany Bradford is Alice. Yep.
Brittany Bradford. I really like the cast. I think it's, again, and this is a show that certainly feels like comfort television of like, sit down. The conflict is pretty minimal. Even we'll get to the season, the final episode, like you could sway that to be incredibly dramatic, and it's played for a romp a little bit.
Yeah.
I think for me, like, this was like eating too much dessert. Eating way too much dessert, even like before dinner, because yeah, I think probably I watched this in about the span. I think I watched about 2 episodes of Julia a day on average. So sometimes I was watching 3 or 4. And while I do like it, I think this was the wrong way to watch the show, because I sort of felt the monotony of the show to a degree of like, there's stuff happening, but not really stuff happening, you know, is sort of how I feel. So I will preface this by saying, like, please don't take anything I'm about to say in this podcast as I didn't like the show. I did like it. I just, it was not the most exhilarating binge I've ever had through the course of, I think this is our 14th episode, Jess.
Yeah. Okay. So I kind of agree with you in that, because we've watched a ton of thrillers and mysteries and very intense shows, this is certainly a different short sort of show.
Yeah.
And it's a vibes show. It's my feeling about it is that this is a show that is totally cool. And the acting is great. The setting, right? Like everything. Yeah. It's a really well-made show, like you said. But in my opinion, this is a show that you kind of put on the television. You do some cross-stitching. You play a little bit of like a mobile game on your phone. You kind of just enjoy it. You live in it versus you're sitting on the edge of your seat, like waiting for the next episode. So I totally agree with you. I think I had a little bit of a better, because I watched it over a longer period of time, I feel like I was able to enjoy it in that way more. And I kind of think my argument overall is it didn't necessarily need a second season. Like, and while I enjoyed the second season, I have nothing against it. It felt like the premise of the show was getting the French chef made. And so then to me, after season one, where she succeeded, she did it. You know, she gets a season two, she gets renewed. It kind of lost a lot of the momentum going into season two for that reason. So while I absolutely adore Sarah Lancashire, I'm so sorry. Lancashire.
Okay. I think it's Lancashire, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. Plays the Europeans. I'm so sorry. BB Newirth, like, come on. Literally have her do anything on my screen and I'm all for it. Like, the casting is incredible. The acting is incredible. Some of the things they take liberties with on the show that certainly weren't real life, I really enjoyed. Alice as a character, she did not exist in real life. She was simply made for the show. Really enjoyed Alice as a character. But yeah, there are certain times when I was watching that I was like, it feels a little long. And I think that's because I'm waiting for something to happen. And that's just simply not this show. You know, it's more of a, we're watching Julia Child, like, you know, she's gonna make a chicken. Like, it's like, that's the
cook
show.
Come on.
Cook up on.
Yeah.
And like, I think most of the joy I got from watching the show, Grace, is watching Julia. It's just, I think that the actor does such a great job at portraying what everyone has said about Julia Child in real life, which is she's a magnetic personality. She lights up the room. She lights up everyone around her. She is the sun and things orbit around her. And I felt like I could feel that energy in Sarah Lancashire's performance.
Yeah, I do think the plot of season one, which is getting the show made, you know, her going on the book show, the book talk show, and then it getting made and figuring out, like, all of that stuff I actually found was really interesting. The idea of like creating a television show and how they would, you know, it really was revolutionary at the time. Not only was it a woman-led show, but this cooking show that we now, there's so many of them on television now, but the idea that, okay, how do you actually make, you know, a full dinner over the course of half an hour? Okay, you like have the food made at different stages, you can show it, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Like it was so good. The sort of three-act format of like prep, cook, eat, all of that stuff was really fun. I would agree. I think season two, there's a big chunk of it at the beginning that basically separates it. And I think one of the things of season two was, and I think to your point about Julia being the star of this show, it was tough about season two is so much of the other stuff feels really siloed from Julia and the show. You have this central controversy of like, is she going to leave WGBH? We know that she, you know, if you look on Wikipedia, she's not going to. She does that show for about 12 years, I think, about around that. So, yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I don't necessarily know that we need a season two, but I also feel like I'm super biased in that, like, yeah, I just think, like, I didn't watch it in the way that I think a lot of people watch this show, which is completely as comfort. I it was literally like, okay, I got to watch two episodes of Julia today, which I feel so bad. Cause again, I can understand that the show is well made and people really like it. So I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, I want to examine as we, you know, once we chat through the sort of recap of the season, what did resonate with people and then maybe what didn't resonate with us in particular.
Yeah. On that note, do you want to give us our little quick plot recap?
Yeah, so as you said, season one follows Julia Child starting a breakout television show, The French Chef, on the small broadcast network WGBH and the highs and lows of the show's newfound success. Season two begins with Julia and Paul, her husband, in Paris as she spends time with her sister, spends time reengaging in French cuisine, and spending romantic time together in the City of Love. Upon her return, the show deals with overwhelming success. The other shows are now becoming smaller as Julia's show set the standard for success on the network. Julia films the first ever White House state dinner, but only gets to catch a glimpse of inside the kitchen as she's not invited to enjoy the meal itself. Other characters are on their own journeys too. Russ Marash, the producer of the show, is beginning a career as a documentarian, having left The French Chef. Alice tries to balance work with a new relationship with a man named Isaac. And Judith deals with her boss, Blanche, being a bit overbearing. The season sort of culminates as Julia dealing with two different dilemmas. One, the idea that CBS is trying to lure her away in the promise of having a bigger nationwide show, as well as a man trying to get her to spy on the other people who work at WGBH, considering she was a spy during World War II. Ultimately, the team rallies together to hide any potentially incriminating evidence on the set while Julia films, and then Paul and Julia ultimately decide they will stay at WGBH, having realized that that is where their family and friends are. Paul and Julia embrace as the season comes to an end. And that's basically what happened on Julia season two.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, the way that season two begins, we're in France and a lot of the characters are separated from one another. And I felt like season two had a big shift in that we're now that we know all of the WGBH employees and everybody, we're going to spend a decent amount of time on their own individual storylines. And I guess for me, it didn't always work, and it's because I always found myself wanting to go back to what Julie was up to, and I did not find her time in France to be that entertaining for me personally. Simca, I think, is a very interesting character, obviously based in real life. Like, a lot of these characters are pulled from real life, obviously. Their interactions with Julia, probably, you know, just written for the show. They don't know exactly what was said between them. Mm-hmm. But I just found her time in France to not be super enjoyable. And there are only certain characters I found myself caring about back at WGBH. So characters like Alice, I'm very invested in. I want her to be successful. Characters, you know, her editor, Judith, her and Blanche were so interesting for me as a pair. Mm-hmm. I mean, Judith Light.
Yeah, but how do you have Judith Light on the show and not have her be anywhere with Julia?
Yeah, like, I think that was what was missing, right? Like, I think there were just little pieces that were missing. But Judith and Blanche, I found so interesting as a duo. And there were just certain moments where I felt like I wish the whole gang was back together again. And like, where there were other characters like Russ, who, no offense to Russ, but like, I didn't care. I don't care about your documentary times. Like, you didn't even want Julia to succeed in the first place. You're getting like all this undeserved accolades for putting the show on the air that you don't deserve. I don't know. And I guess beyond that, and I feel like people are going to absolutely hate me for saying this, but like, I did not like Paul, her husband, Paul Paulski.
Oh, interesting.
David Hyde Pierce, I apologize. I know people are very fond of him from like his days on Frasier. I did not do Frasier, so I don't have that like nostalgia-based love for him going into the show. Uh-huh. I found Paul to be very annoying in season one. Can I tell you the main reason that I found him a little more bearable in season two is because when his twin brother Charles comes in, I'm like, oh, I hate you so much more. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, just certain characters didn't pop for me. Yeah. Even Julia herself, I think Grace goes through some stuff in this season and the first season that like, it's true, right? Like, there are things that make her not as lovely as a person as we all want to believe she is. She wasn't exactly always a feminist icon, you know? Like, she has a little bit of, like, a built-in homophobia. And so there's, like...
A lot of it.
And so yeah. It's not great, some of the stuff. And obviously, I'm happy that the show is not just, like, you know, painting over everything she's ever done that was like not great, but it's also tough because it makes you not like your main character as much.
Well, I'll start with the homophobia because I actually think the season one episode, and we're talking about season two, but it's hard when, you know, we also watch season both, one and, you know, it's the second season of the show. The season one episode where she's with James Beard and they go to the gay bar and there's the drag queen. I really, who supposedly gives her makeup tips.
Yeah, the Coco Vaughn, right? That was genius, by the way. Genius drag queen name and everything.
Yes. It's pretty egregious to paint, I think, somebody who had, and who had this much. And so one of the things I loved about the show actually is that Julia, who does have this image of like, you know, oh, hello, you know, this
hello.
Is
hello.
but that would also be like, you know, swearing. And it's very fun. It's like she, and this is true. She was like supposedly like very crass in like sort of her private life, like when she'd be chatting with friends. This is true. But one of the things that also is true in terms of her crassness was how much she would use homophobic slurs.
Yep. Yep.
This is very pretty well documented. And seemingly later in life, after a little bit of like, you know, some things in terms of the AIDS crisis, she did seemingly like soften her stance on like being homophobic. And you know, she has these lines of being like, oh, it's a shame that San Francisco is run amok and like been taken over by all these like, you know, queer people because they're like, yeah, they're talented, but like, they're so annoying basically. Is like kind of like, that was kind of her thing. So the idea that she would like, she didn't like, I don't know. Like, I guess she did hate her people.
I truly felt like they shouldn't have had her go up on stage and sing with the drag queen because that did not feel like what I had read about Julia from that time. Because to your point, once the AIDS crisis hits and everything, she softens on her stance. But that has not happened yet. And to me, it felt like we're really painting her in a much more positive light than she probably deserved at this point.
Yeah, it's 100% that, and it's kind of the issue with like that they're kind of stuck in this time period. Like they're going very slowly through history.
Yeah.
So they want, you know, they want a portrayal of Julia that some way that she is to some degree like, you know, what, you know, there are these like cis women, white women, like being a friend of Dorothy, referring to, wow, this is embarrassing. Who played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz? I'm just looking it up now.
Judy Garland.
All know that it's Judy Garland. Being a friend of something.
I knew a name, Grace.
Yeah. Being a friend of Dorothy is because, like, Judy Garland had this, like, you know, sort of queer icon status to a degree.
Yeah.
So, like, it is true. And so the idea that, like, people, you know, did kind of, you know, think of Julie in some of that way, you know, when you're queer and there's no queerness on TV, you look for where can you find it. And sometimes that's, like, in effeminate women. And so, so there's that. But I do dislike that she's like, oh, and I learned my makeup tips from that, like, you know brush up or whatever,
contour,
like,
or whatever.
I think it's pretty egregious. I do think, like, I think it's in that almost that same episode where you also, though, or it's also a James Beard thing where there's this one woman who's like, no, you're actually keeping women in the kitchen, like, you are reinforcing the stereotypes of being a woman, and actually you're putting the expectation that all of wives should know how to cook and cook for their husbands, and that you're actually reinforcing, like, the patriarchy.
Yeah, Betty Friedan, I want to get the name right, because she is, like, a actual, like, historical figure criticizing Julia. To put it to a more season two example, Rachel Bloom joins the cast as Elaine Levitch, who's, like, a producer that originally was, like, from CBS, now is working for The French Chef for season two, replacing Russ. And I was so irritated with Julia that she would not give this woman a try, would not give her a single chance because she was a woman. And it was very clear to me that that's exactly what was happening based on what I had read about Julia Child outside of, you know, obviously what's portrayed on the show, is that she preferred to work with men. She did not, she very much subscribed to that traditional mentality a lot of the time of a man's role is like a patriarchal role, and we should listen to men. And I'd hate to be in a room full of women. It really needs some masculine energy. And it's really upsetting when you have a new character like Elaine come in, obviously very talented, obviously working as hard as possible to make The French Chef successful. And Julia is like, no, I'm going to give Russ all the credit, who was against you from the beginning, Julia. And I'm not saying we should hold it against Russ forever, but Julia being, like, completely unwilling to take credit for The French Chef was so infuriating to me as a woman, as somebody who, like, thinks that you should take ownership of things that you create, to feel that a woman would not take ownership of it and, in fact, give the power to the man instead was so upsetting, especially when it's like, okay, well, it's also on the backs of people like Alice, who you love and appreciate. It was so frustrating to me. And Elaine, like, unceremoniously is just gone, like, halfway through the season. So another thing that I was just like, and I know I'm getting frustrated with the real life Julia, and that's what they pulled from for the show, but it can't help it. Like, those are just my feelings on, like, it's so hard to watch when the character that you like the most does things that you don't like.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I think that's, for me, that's like the strength of the show for me, is that I do feel like, you know, this woman who, they created the show in the 1960s. And so the contradictions of womanhood and femininity and how far you can push things forward. Like, I kind of do like the scene where Julia doesn't, she, it's not as if she's not taking credit. Like, you know, she's not taking credit for the show, but she's also just giving it rightly, like unfairly for sure, to Russ, but also to Alice. And I think she had, like, Alice is like, why did you do that? And she kind of explained, you know, she does give this answer that, like, you know, I think is contradictory and not true now, but was true.
For sure then,
you know,
yeah.
of the time, of like what people thought at the time and how you needed, sort of, there was like sort of a balance you needed to have sometimes in terms of how to make sure you could continue to make the thing you wanted to make. I find like the show kind of wanted, because it wants to be comfort TV, and I do think it like succeeds in that, but I do think that's at the expense of a lot of stuff. Like in the last episode, it's the last, yeah, when they're having a party because they've celebrated like pulling a ruse off the FBI.
Which is like, so ridiculous that that was a storyline in season two, but
yeah. I mean, this is in the middle. I mean, we just watched Fellow Travelers. Like, this is in the middle of like the Red Scare of, like,
yeah, wild, right? We're covering, yeah, the Red Scare on TV
and television, where it's like, you know, what are you broadcasting? What message are you trying to send out? Like, it makes sense that, like, not just the government would be that, like, this is where the FBI might be looking as well. So I found it like interesting, even if I don't think it like fully worked. But Hunter previously cancels Alice's show by women for women.
Ooh, and I'm so mad, Grace. I was so mad.
Well, but like, so I just want to, by women for, I never looked at this. So it's a real show, right? It's women to women is the show. I believe. Maybe I'm wrong here. That comes like much later. Yeah, I don't know. So by women for women, like, doesn't exist. And so therefore, so how, or he has this conversation with Alice where he's like, mm-hmm, I think it's amazing, but my wife will never watch it, and maybe it's too progressive, and like, so I think we need to like put a pause on the show. And so I think that that's interesting, and like, I think it's okay to say, like, yeah, at the time that's what would have happened. Like, the show isn't a thing. This isn't a show that was on TV, so it's okay. I think okay to be like, okay, we can have this idea of like Alice Naiman, who also doesn't exist, like creating the show, and then it being like sort of like canceled. But then the end of the episode, he's like, and let's make by women for women. And I'm like, well, you want, like, I guess for the happy ending of this, like, he starts like, he gives, yeah, the book show another season. And I'm like, okay, fine, like, whatever. But I feel like at the expense of it being wanting the happy ending, I feel like it was afraid to sometimes, like, it wants to have the conversation and also negate the conversation in the essence of, yeah, comfort television.
Yeah, it almost felt like it would take a few steps forward and then immediately step backwards, because it was like, no, we've gone too far outside of our like chicken soup show. We need it to be chicken soup and we cannot make it unhappy. Therefore, you know, I agree. I guess I feel like a hypocrite. I feel like I'm like, I want them to go in on Julia because she was actually homophobic, but also the show is not as comforting when they're like trashing feminist television shows. So I don't know. I'm hard to please, I guess. There were just certain things that felt like it didn't make sense all the way because they were doing it because they needed the shows to still be comfortable because they still wanted us to like Julia and not dislike her because of some of the beliefs that she held in that time period. I don't know. It was a tricky show. It's a tricky show to critique because it feels like it should just be a show watched for comfort. And so that makes things difficult. But what I will say, like to give the show some credit where I think it deserves it is like characters like Avis. I loved Avis.
The line of like, you must come to Paris. And then she's like, I came. He's like, no, that was metaphorical. That was like, you must try. You know, you must. It's like,
Avis is incredible. I think she was so, so, so fun to have on the show.
The way she's always like crouching behind the island is so funny. Okay, action. And she like pops down. I love it.
Yeah. Her interactions with Paul always had me rolling. Judith and Paul together as a duo cracked me up a lot. There were certain pairings that I really, really enjoyed on the show.
It's extremely well acted. And I actually think the characters, for many of them being Alice being fictional.
Yes.
I do think the characters are pretty well designed. There's like enough of an ensemble here. It's a very women-centric show. This is like mostly about like women in America in the 60s. So there's a lot in that vein. They're like, I really love Judith. I really love Avis. I love Alice. Yeah,
all the characters are absolutely adorable and lovely. And to give Paul some credit, I will say I turned around on him a bit in season two when he became a bit more supportive of Julia and her endeavors and kind of saying that, like, she's the light. And so she shines on all of us when she, you know, when she's successful. We all get a little bit of that light. And I came around on him. I think what happened, Grace, was what I read about their relationship, Julia and Paul's, affected my viewing of the show because they were so inextricably linked. And I have to admit my own like personal bias. Sometimes that comes into play when I'm really not a huge fan of like when people are so all consumed by their relationship that they lose their like individuality at the same time. And I feel like sometimes that would happen with Julia and Paul where she would be like, oh, but Paul needs to direct the show for like pretty much no reason beyond it's her husband. You know, like it felt like a lot of times she needed Paul there more than I thought she needed Paul there. Mm-hmm. And plus they had the teeniest, tiniest bed known to man. How do you sleep like that?
Yeah. I'd be interested now to revisit Julie and Julia because Stanley Tucci plays Paul. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall that performance at all. I don't know. I don't mind Paul. I kind of, you know, like Paul has to direct an episode, like whatever. I think it's season one. So funny in retrospect about like the baking the bread. It's like, we'll use an asbestos brick, which
so
is true.
Terrible.
It's true. It actually happened. Do not use the Julia Child cookbook bread recipe that tells you to use an asbestos brick. I believe they changed it to something else, but once they found out and she like apologized for it and redacted the book. But yeah, I kind of love how everybody kind of dislikes Paul until they don't. And I feel like that was actually done pretty effectively. And then also to have his brother there. I the scene where like they're chatting with the journalist, like Paul and Julia are getting like photographed for a magazine.
Yeah.
And then you think Paul's sitting down, he's like, I just couldn't do it without my brother. You know, it's really my brother who did everything. So I don't know. I think I liked him more than you. He's not my favorite part of the show, certainly, but I think, you know, his place in the show.
He just is so uppity at times. And like, I struggle with someone who I feel like is looking down their nose at people. And he just feels so just like pish posh at times that it got under my skin. As someone who is like very much a trash basket 95% of the time, the uppityness from him got under my skin, I think is what it is. Yeah. But I can't deny he makes a mean looking omelet. I won't deny that. And another
their omelets are a little plain.
It's a very plain French omelet.
It
looked good though.
More than eggs. That's just scrambled eggs, basically, and cheese and butter.
I mean, what's to not love?
What they sprinkle on the top?
Chives or something?
Yeah. There is a moment where I think she makes him an omelet in season one, and she kind of like tosses it and she chucks all the chives on the table.
That's when she gets that was when she had the interaction with the writer, the feminist author, right. Betty Friedan. Yeah, but I do, again, another thing I really liked about the show, I thought the musical cues were like pretty great. Very much like very pleasant, but also felt cooking show-ish, if that makes it. Not in the sense of like,
you have
10 minutes! Rah! More like Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, not to derail everything, but we're talking about chefs. If you haven't checked out Jeremy Allen White's Calvin Klein campaign.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just must good. Say,
yeah, yeah,
yes,
it's very, yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, should we get into some superlatives?
Let's do it. The best death, Julia's dad. Sorry, that's season one. Sorry.
James Cromwell.
Ewan.
I mean, he was played to great effect, right? Best scene. You know me. I'm all about the comedy, Grace. And I fully not only laughed out loud, but rewound the show to rewatch this scene a second time. The moment, and even though I hate this for the character, I was dying. When Avis comes home early, because she's not allowed in the White House because of security reasons, because she's against the war, which was also very funny. And she's like, fine, by all means, I'm happy to leave. When she comes home early and finds her boyfriend, Stanley, basically with a student of his having sex. And the girl is introducing herself and she says cum laude and she's like, sweetheart, how loudy is irrelevant.
it's very good.
Yeah. I died. I absolutely died. It was so funny to me. Bebe Neuwirth is incredible. So for me, like, that's the best scene just because that line made me die so much. And the way she says it is so funny. So that's the best scene, but mostly because I laughed so hard at it.
Yeah. Very good. The White House stuff I did like a fair bit. I think it's probably my favorite episode of the season. It's like awful, like the way that they're like, no, you're not gonna have dinner. No way.
Terrible.
Zephyr Wright is a real person, was the personal chef for Lyndon B. Johnson and the First Lady. And so when she comes and gives Alice and Julia like the dinner that the president is actually
she's
going
like
to
he
have.
Actually likes this, and it was like shrimp and grits or something.
Yeah, all like sort of like southern food that she's very capable of
spicy.
Making.
Yeah,
I thought that was very good. Ava showing up in Paris, being like, "You told me I must come," and it's like that was very funny. And then Julia basically doing like basically the Mrs. Doubtfire scene of like being on two dates at once. Is when she's like trying to like go out on the balcony to like tell Avis and then go back inside to like convince Paul.
Speaking of like secondarily, if I was picking a more serious scene, I really loved the moment between Alice and Zephyr Wright on the bus stop bench where they have that entire conversation about like, oh, why don't you take credit? And she's like, listen, I have the ear of the president. Like, I'm doing my part. You're a younger generation. You're doing your part. Like, I'm proud of you. I really, as someone who like absolutely adored Alice, I really loved that scene. I thought it was really impactful, specifically for a character that we had literally just met in Zephyr Wright. So, absolutely loved that. Best character. Who's your favorite character, Grace?
It's probably Julia. I feel like there's a lot of other people who you could be. I think that a lot of one thing I maybe don't love about everybody else's stories, like basically everybody else's relationship is about or storyline is about a relationship. So pretty much Avis, I guess, yeah, Judith is also dating someone, right? And Alice all are like in romantic relationships. Is that right? Like in some form or another?
Yeah.
Which, you know, fine, but you don't need. So it's probably Julia, but yeah, all the women in the show are pretty amazing.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Alice just because I feel like, you know, when you have a character like Avis, like B.B. Newworth is like, I'm seeing B.B. Newworth and I'm like, yes, yes, more, please. But Alice, who's played by Brittany Bradford, I wasn't familiar with the actor at all. And yet I was completely captivated by her story. I was always rooting for her, like always. I wanted Alice to succeed. I always wanted her to get the credit. I was so happy when she started dating Isaac. And I was really happy that he moved to Boston, so she could continue her dream. And
yeah, that was cute.
Her relationship with her mother, I thought, was very cute, and it felt true for that time period, you know, where her mom's like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to give me grandbabies? You know, on and on and on, very overbearing. I really adored Alice, so I have to tip my cap to her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah. The next superlative I came up with was, which Julia dish would you most like to eat of all the stuff that she creates on the show?
Let's see. Yeah, maybe the finale is lobster Americana, right?
Sounds pretty
good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
maybe a fried chicken would be pretty good too.
Yeah, the chicken, the coq au vin, I think, I mean, obviously I love an omelet. But to your point, Grace, I can make an omelet, you know.
You can do sweetbreads, that's what you mean? You
want to? No, absolutely never ever in my life would I ever have anything to do with those.
Yeah, I would have a crepe Suzette as well. I would have that.
Crepe Suzette sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of good good meals I think she makes. But although I do agree that, like, I'm not a chef. Okay. I'm not someone who I cook because I have to cook to eat.
I'm basically
the same. Because I enjoy it. If I see a recipe that has like over 6 ingredients, it's immediately like getting lower and lower on my likelihood to cook it. And I feel like I'd never, ever be able to make anything that Julia Child makes because it feels like just so much work.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And then we have our superlatives. Grace, did you think of a superlative for this show?
I didn't really. I forgot we do this. Do you have one?
Yeah, I would say like, show I'd most like to watch while eating soup. Like, ooh, it just feels like a show that needs to be watched while you're under a blanket eating soup. I do think like this is a perfect time of year to watch this show. It's cold outside. You're not really venturing out much. Yeah, that's what I said. Show most likely to watch while eating soup.
Show most likely for me to realize I must visit Paris.
You must come to Paris.
I must.
What did you think of Simca as a character?
I actually do like her a lot. I think she calls her, it is her sister, right? No, it's not.
No,
right?
They call each other sisters. They're not related.
Oh, okay. All right. So I like it because I think the idea of like her being a better cook, but actually never, not better cook, but like, you know, doing it first, writing a lot of
recipes.
She's a
more traditional French cook. Yeah.
Yes. And then like, you know, Julia going and having all the success. So that was interesting. Love it when they win an Emmy. I think the Creative Arts Emmys. Judith Light, I believe, actually won an Emmy last night as we're recording this for her work on Poker Face. But when she's like, what is it? Like, it's an award. It's like, I've never heard of it. It's like, it's new. It's like, oh, then it doesn't matter. It's like very good.
I love when Simca calls her to like congratulate her. And like, Julia is so shocked that she would call. And she's like, congratulations. Yeah. She's like, for what?
Yeah. It's so good.
Their relationship is really interesting. I enjoyed the push and pull of having Simca, who is a very traditional French chef, versus Julia, who is trying to simplify things for the American woman to be able to create.
Yeah.
And she, like, when she goes to the store, I believe in season 1, and she's getting ingredients from the grocery store, and Paul is aghast that she would not get fresh herbs for the for the meals.
It's very topical with the TikTok. But like, are you familiar with pumpkin husband pumpkin filling? Are you familiar with this?
Is this the thing where you send your husband to the grocery store to get something and see what he comes back with?
Yeah. So what happened was this lady sent her husband to go buy all the ingredients to make a pumpkin pie, but did not put pumpkin filling. And he came back and didn't buy it to prove a point that she did not put it on the list for him to buy it.
Okay.
To which, like, you know, is stupid. Just buy
it. It's very stupid. Buy it. Yeah.
Who cares? We have extra pumpkin filling. And then, yeah, a lot of people like ask her, like, okay, if I send you out, we're going to make pasta or whatever, but I don't put pasta on the list. Like, and then there's been some very funny ones where I've seen like, no, I'm not going to buy pasta. And then he like pulls up all the pasta he knows that they have at home. Like, look how much pasta we have. So yeah, that's the,
yeah. I could tell you in my household, what would happen. I don't think that this is what people would ask for, but if I sent my husband to the store, with a list, I would get at least 5 phone calls asking about said list or texts. It would not be a go to the store, come back with whatever he found.
So
no.
What if you're unavailable? What if you can't answer the phone? What is your husband doing? Is he buying? So you're making a pumpkin pie. There's no pumpkin filling on
it. He's not buying pumpkin filling. You know why? Because he's assuming we have it at home already. If it's not on the list, he's assuming we have it at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what would happen in my household. But also, like I said, I would get a ton of phone calls and texts about a list. And if Will's not listening to this, but if he is, he knows what I'm talking about.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Okay. Theme song ranking. So this one doesn't, it's very short and sweet. And it's like a zoom in on a cookbook for what the title is, which is also what they're making that week on the French Chef on the show. I will say, like, I like the little pitter patter do 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 do. I have it in my
music,
head a lot.
I think the music is good. Yeah,
music is good. I think that the actual like title card or whatever you want to call it is fairly forgettable. It's not super great, but I do like the do 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 do. So where are you thinking? For those who don't remember, we have our tier lists: unskippable, pretty good, meh, memorable, fine, skippable, and trash.
I kind of feel bad saying it's memorable, but I feel so. I attempted to put it at the bottom of pretty good, but I actually think it's probably in memorable.
I would put it also in memorable, but I think I would put it above bodies in memorable, top of the memorable list.
I would agree. I think, yeah.
Yeah. I just like the plunky, plunky music.
It's a perfect, like, set you up for what you're watching.
Yeah.
Type song. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the visuals are good. So that's why I'm tempted to be like, to not even get, like, I think it's like, it's so, it, you know, there is the category fine, but I almost feel like fine and memorable need to be swapped. Like, fine, I feel like almost implies like there's almost like nothing wrong with it. It's just not good. And then meh is like, it's so boring, but I don't know.
Interesting. I think the memorable though puts it above fine because it's memorable, but it's kind of memorable.
Yeah. Okay.
This doesn't make any sense.
No, it does, because I do feel like this is basically, yeah, it is fine, but it's also memorable. So So
and
it's
when
memorable.
You combine those, it's memorable.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. That's where it lands.
Yeah.
As for what is next, we have a show that is beloved by some, specifically the first couple of seasons.
Some people say this last season. Let me just make sure we're talking about this. Oh no, never mind. I'm talking about what we're doing in 2 weeks. So.
Oh, okay. So we're gonna cover season 4 of Apple TV's For All Mankind, the science fiction drama that basically is like an alternative history on the space race, the global space race. It had never ended. We're now in season 4. For those who are familiar with the show, they love to jump through time. So we start off with season 1 in the 60s. And now that we're on season 4, we are in the aughts. We're in the early aughts. I started it already because it has been coming out weekly. Yeah. I will say, for those who maybe fell off at some point, totally understandable because it got real bad. I will say, I think Grace raising her hand, which you can see if you watch us on YouTube, Push Your Recaps, find us. I do think I am now 5 episodes in, I think, to the newest season. I will say, I think it's better than season 3. It's clearly better than season 3. So if you fell off and you really dislike season 3, I feel like it's better. I still have qualms with it, which we'll talk about next week. But if you want to check out that show, Apple TV Plus is where you can find it. Grace, what was the last season you saw of For All Mankind?
I stopped at season 2 because I hated the storyline at the end of season. There's one storyline. There's one thing that I think a lot of people are like, why are we doing
this? Is it a specific relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was in season 1, and then everyone's like, don't do that. And then they were like,
we're doubling down.
What if we do more of it in season 2? And like, stop. I really love Joel Kinnaman to the point where like I recently went and watched in December, I watched Silent Night, which is a movie where he can't speak. And so and then he's like getting revenge on like drug cartel people, but he can't speak. So it's Silent Night. And like the night that the bad thing happened, he's like in a Christmas sweater. It's a really fun idea. It's kind of the action is really good, but the story is really bad. But like he's good, so it's like I like Joel Kinnaman a lot. So I'm excited to, and Jodie Balfour as well, who was in the last season of Ted Lasso. So I am intrigued to check it out, but nerve wracking to hear that I do have to watch season 3 before I watch season 4. So
it's tough. I will say for those of you, what I ended up doing, because I was caught up. I had watched the first 3 seasons before this one dropped. I found a YouTube video that quickly just recapped everything that happened in the first 3 seasons, because it's tough when you jump through time to know like, okay, who's even still alive? Who are we still watching on the show? Because they do have consistent characters, but they add in new characters every season. Right. And one of my faves, I won't say who it is for those who haven't watched at all, any of the show, but one of my faves is no longer on the show. And it's pretty devastating.
Oh, I did have an extremely favorite person from the other seasons, and I hope that she's still on the show, and I bet she's not. So
do you want to say who your favorite person was from the early seasons? I won't reveal.
Molly Cobb.
There you go. Penny, not Penny's boat. That's what we're covering next week. So join us if you can. We're really excited to chat about some space stuff, because unlike Dr. Amanda, we love space.
Yeah, Dr. Amanda hopefully listens, but won't be happy about it.
No, she won't be happy, but we love you, Dr. Amanda. If you
there actually is a big space movie coming out called ISS, International Space Station, which I believe is like Americans and Russian fighting in the International Space Station. It comes out, I think, in a couple weeks. So, yeah.
Space stuff is big. I mean,
well, it's because space is so big. Yeah. It's stories to cover. The final frontier.
So don't forget to subscribe at posterrecaps.com/full-spoiler-recaps or posterrecaps.com/subscribe if you want to see everything we have going on. We absolutely appreciate any if you want to subscribe, give us ratings, reviews, we totally appreciate it. If you want to be a patron at posterrecaps.com/patreon, feel free to do so. You get some ad-free podcasts, you get access to our patron-only Discord, which is a really fun place to be, where we chat about TV and just pretty much anything, everything. And oh my gosh, Grace, before we end, because you know we have to do our little end mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. We have to try to give our best bon appetit, a la Julia, because I feel like we did the like hello, which is definitely a Mrs. Doubtfire thing.
It's not Julia.
Bon appetit.
Yeah. Oh hello, yeah. Oh, bon appetit. Yeah.
So good. But yeah, until next time, Grace, where can people find you and what do you have going on?
Yeah, so I'm on social media at Hi From Grace. Currently, we're almost done with Fargo, which has been a tremendous season of television. Also, The Curse, which Dr. Amanda and I seem to be the only people in the world who like, but we do love it. Movies Each Week with Ariel, we covered. I don't remember. Ferrari, and then we're going to cover something next week, maybe the Iron Claw, I'm not entirely sure. And then I would highly encourage you, if you're a fan of some of the folks here at Push Reviews, as well as Rob as a podcast, I helped produce a version of The Traitors, RHAP, with the wonderful Sam Moore. Rob Cesternino hosted. It was a lovely, fantastic, amazing day of getting to like basically put together a season of reality TV over the span of like 5.5 hours. It was so fun. You can go watch the full replay on YouTube, and actually although there was like some people like getting to chat privately, we've set it up so the YouTube should be just like fully able for you to watch almost the whole day. You might miss a conversation here or there, but you can mostly watch that. It was a huge success. We were trending number 2 on Twitter in the United States of America, and I had lots of people watching. So it's so fun. It's so good. I'm extremely proud of it. So go watch that over on the Rob is a Podcast YouTube channel. And that's what I got going on, Jess.
You can hear me on Full Spoiler Recaps here on Pusher Recaps, as well as starting True Detective Season 4, Night Country. That's coming up very shortly. Yeah, Grace is doing a lot of podcasts, so check her out on Talking True Detective as well. You can also find me over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, where we're covering Felicity, and we're starting Buffy the Vampire Slayer this week. I'm really excited about it. I've never seen it. I know almost nothing beyond there's a woman who slays vampires, and eventually there's a guy called Angel.
Spoiler.
And he gets a spinoff, and that's all I know. Buffy slaying vampires? Who knew? So go check that out. I'm really excited to get that project started. And beyond that, you can find me at DJ Sterling. Thank you all for listening. And until next time, you've been fully spoiled.
And you've been fully bon appetit.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.